The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 11 after 8, Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law from Southern Oregon University, local historian, overall good guy, and a great bridge player, too. How you doing, Doc? Welcome back.
Always my pleasure, Bill. And, we go back for, 13 years, and you are still standing above them all.
Still standing as long as the knees don't give out, okay? There we go. Doctor, let us talk about, because next Monday and Tuesday, this weekend is my anniversary weekend. Linda and I will have been married, how many years will it have been? Okay, we've been together 22 years. That's October 1st. It'll be October 8th is our actual 20th wedding anniversary. So we're going to be leaving town and taking a couple of days off. And so I'm going to miss Columbus Day. So I won't be here for Columbus Day next Monday. And I wanted to talk about the Columbus Day storm because this is a big piece of Southern Oregon and Northern California history that is worth commemorating because it was a big deal around here. I know we've been talking a lot about Helene, North Carolina, or Hurricane Helene, rather, and what's been going on in North Carolina. But we had something similar, big experience here in Southern Oregon, too, and that was some 62 years ago, right?
Yeah, actually, right, Bill. And it was the, with its hurricane force winds, was the most powerful windstorm to hit Oregon and Southern Oregon in recorded history. It was an extratropical comma cyclone. Mm-hmm. It caused $1 billion in damages at the time, which would be multi-billion now. The winds that were caused by, this warm, moist air that came in and met a cold air stream from the Gulf of Alaska, along with you had different jet streams.
It started off as Typhoon Frida, right?
That's exactly right. And this storm flattened $750 million then from Northern California to Western Montana, but the great majority was in Oregon.
And, and that was timber you were speaking of, right? Timber trees?
You betcha.
Yeah.
It was timber, and that's an area that we certainly should be going into, when we have the chance. You had 179 miles an hour at Cape Blanco. You had 116 miles per hour in Portland. And what it did was that it flipped over airplanes in Portland. Buildings lost all their windows. So that's where the deaths came from, because you had this flying shrapnel that came in, Bill, from glass and debris, trees crushing cars with people in it. And you had, I came into this also a few years ago by talking to fishing captains outside of Crescent City, where you had this sudden windstorm that snapped in and capsized fishing boats without any warning. And then we even had a lioness that escaped from a zoo that attacked a boy.
Man.
We had everything that could happen, my friend. Major radio transmission towers were flattened. But here in Medford, the winds, they said, gusted to 58 miles per hour, although that is a very conservative number. It was greater in the mountains. But the highways outside of Medford were stacked with 5-foot diameter trees that were stacked 20 feet high.
Oh my gosh.
Homes,
yeah, you're not just going to get a little, you're not just going to get a couple of chainsaws and cut those kind of blockages up, are you? Right.
And you know, I would see that just in coursing around on other stories and talking to people, and you'd see even a few years ago where trees were just blown out. And I'd say, where did that happen? He said, that's that 62 storm. But in any event, we even had a downtown Medford car dealership, Bill, where all of the plate glass windows crashed and shattered because a customer opened the door and reduced the inside pressure. We were lucky we didn't have deaths, but the big issue that came up is, what do you do here in this area? This is, in the 60s, with all of those flattened trees, logs, and things like this. Well, my friend, it really showed the difference between then and now with the idiotic far-lefters, as we saw in the 2002 Biscuit Fire, because there they pounded nails in the trees and did what they could to stop salvage logging then. But here, Congress in 1962 bill appropriated the monies to give road access building and salvage logging before the wood could rot. And so
there was no doubt about this. There was no talk about what sort of environmental impact was going to be needed. It was, we're going to just foster this this commerce. We're going to get commerce going again. We're going to get these roads open. And it seems that in 1962, we were considerably a more serious and sensible people overall.
Yeah, that's true. And then also, if you even just fast forward to this year, 2024, I had mentioned this a few weeks ago as to here in Ashland, they were going to head and clear trees above the reservoir. Mm-hmm. And they had helicopters coming in, and there was no demonstrations because the city council had cut a deal in terms of the money that was going to go with the far-left activists who were going ahead and representing the homeless, non-transparent, of course. Not a whisper of any dispute. And try that in Maryland now, where the Ashlanders race out there in their mini cars, but in any event, race out there to start protesting, chaining themselves to trees, pounding nails in the trees. It's just behavior that just shouldn't be accepted.
One of the things which is most evident when we have a where past meets present, Doctor, is how sensible and how practical most of the decisions were made, even when it came to institutions that we know and love today. Many things were done out of a love of something, but there had to be a practical side to it then also because there was nobody around to bail you out. I mean, you just had to, you had to work the problem as best you could. You know that when you talked about the Columbus Day storm, I mean, you think about that, Doc. There, my gosh, that was, 40-something people died from that one overall?
Yeah. In Oregon, 46 people died, primarily north of us, mm-hmm. From southern Oregon.
And a lot of it falling glass and falling trees, crushing people, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. And then you also had where the Seattle Space Needle swayed.
Oh, boy.
Windows buckled. They had a loudspeaker that was blaring warnings of 80 miles per hour winds. I mean, this was one that really cut through. I remember I wasn't in Oregon yet then, and trying to make my way here. And I remember the newspapers throughout the United States were talking about a tragic windstorm, smashes through Oregon.
And isn't this the storm that ended up driving the push to put the dam on the Rogue River, on the Upper Rogue River, to try to prevent such flooding and damages in the future?
With the dams, that, and also you had the 64 flood.
Oh, the 64 flood was probably more involved with that, right? Rather than the Columbus Day storm? Okay.
Yeah, and I was saddened as to the Klamath dams being brought down with the political politics there, because I used to, with Judy and friends of ours, we used to kayak down from the dams to go all the way, underneath the I-5 to come to a little campground there. And there were really some gnarly rapids.
Yeah, well, don't drink the water now, because the water in the Klamath is, we had it tested. Did you hear that part about the testing that came back?
With the aluminum that you were mentioning?
Yeah, 1,875 times the EPA allowable aspect of aluminum. So any fish that you would pull out of the Klamath, if fish would survive getting all the way up here, they're pre-wrapped in aluminum foil in the water, okay? you just throw them onto the fire without even having to put the aluminum foil on them. There's plenty of aluminum on them already. Okay. I'm just having fun with you, Doc. You know that. Hey, let's see if people will have some comments on this this big storm, Columbus Day storm of 1962. Yeah, let's go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't calling about that topic, but I've been listening to you, and I want to know what you're agitated about the land use in Oregon. I don't fully understand your perspective on as far as housing and land use. Can you go over that kind of?
Yeah, All land use is controlled by the state. Senate Bill 100, early 1970s, was passed. It was a part of bringing in sustainable development, ultimately, here to the state of Oregon. We're the only state in the entire country that has to bend the knee to state land use control rather than local land use control. That's why we have such abominations such as urban growth boundaries. And you can only build here. You can't build there. It has nothing to do with what's needed. It has nothing to do with what local communities need. It's what the state allows. Okay, does that help?
Not really.
Why?
I mean, urban growth boundary. I mean, if you don't have money to buy a property or buy a house, I mean, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay, so I know this is a little off topic, but you don't know what I'm getting at here. So this had to do with Jeff Merkley coming over, Dr. Powers, with the latest socialist deal in downtown, the affordable housing there. They don't own. Why don't they? Okay. This is being sold, caller, to supposedly help people own something. All they own is the house. They don't own the land underneath it. There's plenty of land around here, but you're not allowed to build on it.
Okay.
If you really wanted affordable housing, you'd let people build homes.
Well, why can't people buy land and build homes?
They're not allowed to. Did you listen to me?
If you own RR5 or RR2.5, you can build. You have RR5, you can divide.
Right. But still, not necessarily affordable, is it?
It's affordable to me. I own several pieces of property. I don't know why other people.
Well,
can't do it.
Good for you. I'm so glad to hear that you're doing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have taken that call right now because now I got my blood pressure up, Doc. Okay.
Oh, well, you know, you're absolutely right in terms of the development aspect, and we see it here in Southern Oregon. In terms of the way you've got to go to a city council to try to get variances, the administrative state is making it to you wonder why we're not having any more construction. We're
looking at
the regulations.
And the thing is, Doc, people wonder, you know, why is it that, state land use control? Well, why wouldn't you want the state? When has the state controlled anything to make it easier for you to do something? It's all about restricting your ability to build a home. And yet we're saying, oh, we need to do affordable housing. And I can't believe people that can't see that any restriction from the government would cause housing to be expensive. Do they not get it?
Well,
are there people that just don't get it?
Yeah, we're seeing it now in terms of the way that the oligarchs are going ahead. Kerry has said the Constitution is the way of climate change. It's all about taking away the freedom of being able to do things, which is very true. This is why Musk is in there. Hillary Clinton, allowing freedom means we'll lose control. I mean, this is unreal.
Yeah, and affordable housing means, and affordable housing in Oregon, in Southern Oregon, means your 15-minute stack and pack, climate-friendly, equitable community. All right.
Oh, that's open to the homeless.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, of course, because homeless equity have to have equity too. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get so wound up about that.
Oh no, but you're right.
But to me, though, that the fact that state land use planning should be self-evident bad thing. All right, and you know this idea that you have to have permission to be able to do everything, that you are not able to talk with your own local counties here. You're having to go through Senate Bill 100 and the LCDC. For everything about it. And I just don't get it why some people, I guess people are so used to the restrictions here, maybe they don't see the problem with it, Doc. I don't know.
You know, the key thing is you want to be able to build housing that's close for people to be able to use instead of being way out, you know, 90 miles from here. But the other thing is, Bill, is that I saw the way developers, when I was in California, this is decades ago, we're coming up here to Oregon because then California's so bad. Well, when I got here some 35 years ago, I saw that those same developers were trying to go to Idaho because of the restrictions that came in. I mean, the facts speak for themselves.
I know. Anyway, let me grab another call here. Hi, good morning. You're on. Who's this?
This is Miner Dave. I want to talk about storms.
All right. Go quickly here.
We had a hurricane back in the early 80s. It knocked out all the power in the Rogue Valley. Everything was knocked down. Tons of rain. Now, we didn't have any flooding, but we had, 80, 90-mile-an-hour winds that blew things down.
What did they do with the trees?
Yeah, and that was in the early 1980s.
What did they do with the trees?
Well, they cut them down.
Oh.
Most of them were around houses, and they cut them up for firewood.
Oh, good. All right. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let me go to line four. If anybody's calling about the Columbus Day storm, maybe they lived through it. Hi, who's this?
Is this me, Bill?
Yeah, it's you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was working Fred Meyer in Gresham on Columbus Day 1262,
mm-hmm.
and all the power went out. We had a store full of people, and we had in those days we cranked the registers to get people out so they could go home and get their food, get food and go home and survive the blackout.
Wow. Sure. Yeah. You cranked it, you said, right?
Yeah, you could crank the phone. You could crank the registers in 62 at Fred Meyer and bring up, you know, push the buttons and then crank, push the buttons and crank.
Uh-huh.
I'll never put that on.
Now, you know, Dr. Powers, just think about that. They were more sensible at how they could do a storm transaction then than they are now, right? Because if the power goes out and you don't have the internet connection, no sales for you. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's correct.
And I had to drive home. I had been married for about 4 months at that time. And I drove home dodging trees all over the roads between Gresham and parts of Portland where we live. So,
all right.
You struck a nerve with me, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. Dennis Powers, we'll be back with more with him in just a moment here. This is the Bill Myers Show, 770-5633.
We hear it all the time.
I'd love to shop at Garrison's, but I can't afford it.
We heard you, and we're stepping up our game to dispel the rumor that Garrison's is only a high-end furniture store. Announcing the return of Garrison's Express with a wellspring of well-built, value-priced furniture that can be bought and taken home on the same day.
Hey, I can afford it.
Buy today. Take it today, every day. Garrison's Express at the original Crater Lake Highway location, garrisons.com.
At Grover Electric and Plumbing, service is everything. To back it up, this comment from one of our Grover customers in Boise.
At Grover, they listen. We had an unusual problem, but they quickly put together a solution. Saved us a lot of running around and money. Boy, did we appreciate that.
This from a Vancouver customer.
After not getting the help and information we needed elsewhere, we heard about Grover. Glad we did. Great knowledge, great service. From now on, Grover gets all our business.
From Klamath Falls, this comment.
We are very regular customers at Grover with good reason. No matter the day, the time, the season, or how busy they are, we get the help we need, are treated respectfully, and served quickly.
If this sounds like the kind of customer service you're looking for, welcome to Grover. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
You shop Grover, worries are over.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5x5 to 10x30 that are warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and always well-lit and secure. Visit storage at exit24.com.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Gold still up at about $26.50 this morning. Last time I checked, silver at about $31.50. I don't know, looks like silver is starting to join the rally along with gold, wouldn't you say, Doc? Looking at that as far as the finances go, for sure.
Yeah, that's what's happened.
Yeah. And what's going on is that central banks are still buying gold hand over fist. Now, I guess the Russian central bank is starting to buy silver, from what I'm looking at. And, you know what? It really comes down to it. And by the way, this is a mention for one of my great sponsors, Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. You're looking to buy or sell silver, platinum, gold, diamonds, whatever it is. You talk with these people. 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And call 482-3715. And when it comes right down to it, gold is about, I would dare say that gold, Dr. Powers, is about not trusting the government to get control of the budget and the currency. Would that be a fair assessment, really? And that's why the central banks are buying it right now as an asset?
Yeah, it's a bet. It's a bet on the continuing inflation.
Yeah, and even though they're claiming that that inflation is transitory and is moderating. Have you noticed that prices are not reversing? Have you noticed that?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And you know, and as to Jay Austin, I found them to be very, very educational I'll make an appointment, go in there and ask a question about where they think different metals are going. They also, Judy's even brought some jewelry in that she was able, then she sold. No, they're very, very good at what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's like, you don't buy gold because you're thinking that you're going to trade it for your beans and your water or whatever it is, if the excrement were to hit the fan, so to speak. It's not like that. This is the going back to the several thousand years of long-term wealth preservation that physical metals have been able to bring people. This is the just in case. And, you know, and I hope we never have to use it that way. I hope. But I'd rather have some and never have to worry about it than not have any. And then go, man, I wish I tucked some away.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you a very quick story, if I may, is in terms of there was a person in Ashland, a lady, older, who bought silver. And rather than putting it in a safe deposit box, she went ahead and buried it in her backyard. She couldn't find it. This is a newspaper article. She couldn't find it. She made a mistake. She talked to a reporter. The next morning, it looked like, 100 golfers had been there with
There
with her,
really?
With her pick and shovels. Yeah.
Did they find it ultimately? I'm just curious.
I don't think they did. And so they wondered where it was. But the whole field looked like an army of golfers had tracked in.
Yeah, well, if you are going to bury it, know it carefully, okay? And you could do that now with GPS. You could just you could probably figure that out better with GPS now. And before,
good
don't
point.
Put an don't do not put an axe on the ground, right? Don't put that. Yeah, people know that trick.
True.
All right. Let me grab another call here before we get on to some other things. All right, Dr. Powers is here. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Walt Salmon.
Hey, Steve. What's up?
1962, the windstorm,
Columbus Day storm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took a week to get from Prospect to Union Creek. My uncle Chet Clark was a timber faller up there, Cliff Clark, I'm sorry, and they're out there working like devils to get that wood out of the road. But the interesting thing is, back in those days, the Forest Service was funded by the sale of timber, and so they had to get the wood out, and the reason they had to get money from Congress to build roads was there were no timber sales. Normally, if there was a timber sale and they needed to build a road into it, that cost was built into the timber sale.
Sure.
So the person who bought the sale built the road. Well, the Forest Service wanted to get those logs sold because it funded the industry, and now they're on the federal dole, so they don't care. If we had a windstorm like that, I don't know how they would get the logs out of the road.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, but the way that the Forest Service is funded certainly did change the way they tended to look at the wealth of the timber around this area, which continues to grow for some reason, but now it's only good for burning, I guess, for the most part.
Yeah, well, maybe you could sue the weather or something. I don't know. Nothing makes any sense.
Yeah, I'll get to work on that one. Thanks for the call, Wild Sam and Steve.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Doc, we got some other things to cover here. We're going to go take it back to the present. You good with that? We'll do that in a minute or two here.
A good place to go.
All right. We'll be right back with Dr. Powers next.
It's gutter season. The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing's custom gutter division after the last downpour. We've been busy custom fabricating robust gutters on site in a choice of 30 colors guaranteed to survive the weight of falling water and space dust. So if your gutters need to be repaired or replaced, give Fontana a call before the wet weather sets in. We also install gutter covers, too, to keep those pesky leaves from clogging your downspouts. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit ValleyViewNursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Medford City Council is using federal pandemic aid for homelessness, mental health, and addiction issues. The money will go to the Rogue Retreat to expand transitional housing for people leaving residential addiction treatment, along with the Maslow Project, which provides supplies for homeless students. The Medford Police Department will use the money for a part-time community service officer. The rest will go towards the Medford Municipal Court and their outreach court. Pacific Power is sending support personnel and equipment to areas hard hit by Hurricane Helene. Pacific Power says Oregon crews will be going from Bend, Medford, Grants Pass, and Roseburg. The 22 people from the Pacific Northwest are equipped with 20 trucks. The value of Oregon's agricultural products soared 35% in 5 years, ending in 2020, according to newly released federal data. Oregon produced nearly $6.8 billion of nursery plants, beef hay, berries, potatoes, beans, milk, eggs, and Christmas trees, among other products, in 2022. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Brad, my other brother from a Slovenian mother, how you doing this morning? You have a story, a storm story there with Dr. Powers. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't necessarily this part of the Northwest, but I grew up in near Tacoma.
Yes.
And I think that area actually got hit worse in the Columbus Day storm. But we were inside of my elementary school watching a movie, my sister and I. There's something the PTA had put on. But when that storm got kicking, I swear to God, it sounded like somebody was taking a sledgehammer and slamming the doors.
Really?
I mean, the speed of the storm was, I think, in the 140 range.
In your neighborhood in Tacoma at that point, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it was all that wind, whistling up the or just blowing up the Tacoma Narrows, right? And then that would increase its velocity, wouldn't it?
The Narrows have been rebuilt by then, but thank God I wasn't on it when that hit.
Yeah. No galloping Gertie on that one, right? Yeah.
No, but that's an experience. You know, those one of those things in life that you, as a kid, you just never forget it, man.
Yeah, I'll bet. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing that part of the Columbus Day storm, all right? It's 8:38.
Yeah, you know, Bill, it went all the way up to western Montana, and the amount of wood that was blown down throughout that area was three times greater than the number of trees knocked over in the Mount St. Helens eruption. It was one hell of a storm.
No kidding, indeed. Hey, Doc. Now, let's take it back to the current news. We'll close out the storm deal. So,
okay.
Did you watch the Dawn on Saturday? Did you watch that event?
No, I didn't, so let's go into it.
Oh, okay. No. Well, all I was just going to say, I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything that most people didn't realize. That Linda and I both watched it for a couple of hours. Perfect tone. It was a perfect event as far as I was concerned. Absolutely astounding crowd there, too. And I'm just hoping that it translates into Pennsylvania being brought over to Trump world, because if that happens, chances are he wins the election if he's able to edge out Harris. Of course, it kind of bothers me that Harris is even within striking distance of the presidency, because what kind of a people are we that someone of so little qualification can be within striking distance of the presidency? But I digress. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking that way.
Oh, no, but you're right, because what they're doing is no different than with Biden, with the chameleon, because of the fact that she's giving no press interviews.
Mm-hmm.
She is a dyed-in-the-wool woke socialist.
And she probably would not really be running the show, just like Biden really hasn't been running the show when it comes right down to it. Say what you will, at least with Trump, I think he'll likely be running the show, because I don't think he'd have it many other ways.
Well, that's very true, because the oligarchs, we look at them, look at, Kerry and Clinton and all the rest of them who are making the decisions with a feeble president, they're going to do it with the figurehead chameleon, and this is the most dangerous election in the history of this country. It really is, and for your listeners to really do what they can, most of them are working, most of them have active lives, instead of going ahead and wheeling around in terms of demonstrating about cutting down trees. This is the time to stand up for your country.
Yeah. What is going on in the legal world that we should be knowing about, other than the fact that the Supreme Court is starting another term today? I know that's a big deal, and they're looking at a lot of things, but what's going on?
Well, that's a really good issue to go into, because this restriction on freedoms that is being done by Harris, Biden, all the rest of them, the oligarchs, came out that an attorney won a case involving a Virginia school board mm-hmm. that fired a teacher for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. Now, this is this nonprofit religious freedom entity.
Was that the Alliance Defending Freedom that was involved
with
that? It
was Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF again. And for your listeners, please take a look at them, because they are the alternative to Soros. And I've been looking for years to find one, my friend. And the ADF is the alternative to Soros and the ACLU. But what happened here was that they got involved, being the ADF bill, and they took the lawsuit, even though it went up to the Virginia Supreme Court and back down. They won $575,000 in damages and attorney fees because this former high school teacher refused to call a transgender student by the preferred pronoun. And I'll tell you how bad it was that what this teacher said, okay, it's against my religious principles. Because what we're – this is
– How about it's just against reality, all right?
Oh, I agree.
You know, because I'm –
You
know, and stuff like this has to happen. We may be meeting up with transgender – with peak transgender craziness, all right? Because it's like, all right, you have your problems. You can be – you can claim whatever you claim, but – I don't think that you can force with the administrative state everybody to respect and buy a ticket to your crazy circus. You know, I honestly think that's, you know, that's where reality needs to come in here. All right. Hey, you can call yourself whatever. Great. I'm still going to see you as what you are, you know, rather than what you imagine yourself to be.
That's true. And in this case, you know, where it happened was the fact that what this board did when he, being this fired teacher, before being fired, said, I'll call this person by the given female name. Mm-hmm. And what the board said, and this is chilling, and this is why ADF really got involved there, is the board said, no, you use the pronoun even if this student isn't present in your class. Now, this is totally Stalinistic. This is, I've never seen such restrictions, and this is what will happen. A vote for the chameleon and a vote for that ticket is going to give you that result, because that's what Biden did, because he hid in the basement. They're hiding this figurehead now, and this is, you know, like the windstorm in 62, my friend. This is an election of biblical proportions to stand up for the country. It really is.
Yeah, indeed it is.
In my life.
You know, and this is, I'm sure this was about compelling speech, right? This essentially was the board compelling the teacher's speech. And,
correct.
Yeah. And it's just like,
correct.
No, you cannot do that. And
it was the freedom of religion and freedom of speech involved by an administrative agency. This case is an educational one.
All right, very good. Now, one of the cases we have coming up here in this next Supreme Court is child sex changes. And I was looking at Daily Signal this morning. They had an article about this. And have you heard about United States v. Scrimeti?
Let's go into that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
It involves a Tennessee law that bans giving children hormone treatments or genital surgeries to, in other words, the transgender affirming care, you know, that kind of thing. Excuse me, had to do a little sneeze there. But anyway, giving testosterone to and cutting off the breasts of girls who think they're boys, and giving estrogen and cutting off the private parts of boys who think they're girls. And Tennessee has pumped the brakes on this obsession. But of course, they're being sued. Biden-Harris administration has sued Tennessee, claiming children have a constitutional right to get their mutilating surgeries if they feel like they were born in the wrong sex. And so I don't know if you can find that in the Constitution. Can you find that in there?
Well, you know, you're right. And you see, again, what we're seeing is the way this administration is working close to try to keep their far-left agitators and also to keep the money coming in from Soros. Mm-hmm. And these destabilizing forces is where there's chaos. You have a better chance of winning. And I'll just very quickly, my friend, just go to one other area. In terms of the FEMA funds.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was going to ask you about that because FEMA's claiming they don't have any money left because they were giving it all away to the illegals in many of these cities and that there's no money left. I don't think that's true. Do you?
I think you're right, too. They could find it if they wanted to. But here's why I think that the Harris-Biden troops are going ahead and really trying to keep aid from getting into this. It has to do with voting. I came across a couple of places, and one was in the New York Times, just buried in there. And it said that that upper-class liberals should not have a problem in terms of getting to the voting booth. So while you're going ahead and tamping down the ability of folks like the rest of us to vote, you're going to have those that are in areas that like Ashland versus Medford.
Mm-hmm.
If Medford goes ahead and gets hit by a bad storm and people can't vote, the 80% of the liberals here in Ashland are going to vote, and that's going to be able to change the election. This is about voting, and my friend, this is why this is such a tragic time with the lies that are coming out. I've never felt this strongly in my life. I used to go ahead and vote Democratic, as a matter of fact. I used to do that.
Mm. So did Linda.
Yeah, and then when I saw what was really going on, it really came to the fact that those in power feel emboldened to control others to retain their position. And this is a situation where everyone has to take heat. And I look at Elon Musk in terms of fight. He understands.
Do you think it's one of those things where Elon Musk figures that if it's the Harris administration, that there is no longer the X social media platform that's gone?
I think that's a very good overall question that I was thinking about. I read a biography of Elon Musk that was really excellent that went into it. The thing is that because of the problems that Obama did with SpaceX and really routing money into social things and Obamacare, SpaceX is the only company private that is able to go ahead and work with NASA. They're the ones that got the rocket in to get the maroon spacemen back from the International Space Station.
By the way, did they actually get them back? That story just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, apparently they have been coming. They are back, but it was a SpaceX rocket that did it.
Mm. Boy, what an embarrassment for Boeing, huh?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That really is. And the problem is Boeing, that had been such a stalwart in terms of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, they were going to send a 737 MAX, and then the astronauts were saying, no, it's okay. We'll pass on that.
Bill, that's so true.
He's going to have fun with that. Although I was on a 737 MAX there, rather, when I went back to Ohio a few weeks ago. But
hey, how was it? How was the ride?
The ride was fine, actually. It was a fine ride. There's no problem about that. Hey, Doc, I have. I just wanted to ask you before we take off there. Does Ashland, I drove through Ashland, but I didn't notice a 20-mile-per-hour business zone. Do they do 20 miles per hour through parts of downtown or not? Do you recall?
They have, coming into town, mm-hmm. You got to be careful of this. You will come off the exit coming in towards town, going south, and you're at 45. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden it cuts to 35, and then it cuts to 25. When you're coming down. And then it's really as the traffic is, because they have all these crosswalks in there that can stop traffic. You're lucky if you can get through at 15 to 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, the home of the arrogant pedestrian is Ashland. We've known that for a long, long time.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, especially out by Southern Oregon University, the most arrogant pedestrians of all. Be that as it may, I just wondered what they were doing there because I drove through Ashland and I got through it okay. And then I went down 99 and then I had the misfortune of driving through the city of Medford now that they've slowed it down to 20 miles per hour for quite some time. And I really disagree with their concept of turning the city into a school zone all the time. And then also having their cameras out there, you know, snapping pictures of you if you deign to go above 20.
And you know, Bill, you're right, because part of the problem is that they're so worried, those who are on the council or those here in Ashland on the council, they're so worried about lawsuits that when all the crosswalks came up, it was a place where a pedestrian had really stepped out and stepped into a car. And then
in other words, they contributed to the accident. It's what they did.
They contributed.
The pedestrian.
It was contributory negligence straight through. And all of a sudden, you had these crosswalks coming up. And I think that's the reason why you're seeing this deference to the homeless in Southern Oregon.
Well, if you really wanted to protect people, and I'm serious about this. If the cities of Medford and Ashland and everybody else, if they were truly concerned about people's safety when it comes to, the intersection of cars and everybody else, you know, I'd be putting the speed cameras in parking lots. I know that's private property, but to me, I would dare say I see more dangerous driving in parking lots than I do on the regular main city streets.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, and it is astounding. I almost got smacked by a car. I was over in Sicily's, over by Sicily's in Medford, you know, in that parking,
oh, yeah, sure.
that parking lot over there, just trying to ease out there. And I would say, there's a woman going through the parking lot, 25 miles per hour, at least 25 miles per hour in a parking lot with lots of interference and people backing out and doing things like that. I had a similar situation happen over at the Walmart over the weekend, too. 25 to 30 miles per hour in the parking lot across the pedestrian area. And that's an area where a number of years ago, a person did get struck by a car and thrown over the vehicle, fell on his head and died. I don't know if you recall that story.
You know, Bill, you're right. And then especially when they're coming in and they will come and barrel into that parking lot at 25 to 30 miles an hour without signaling. I mean, I've had a couple of times where instinctively I had to stop, and then inside, it's like bumper cars.
Yeah, and you don't see that kind of activity out on the street. You do see it in the parking lots for some reason. It kind of escapes me as to why there's so much of that going on. But that's really where the safety problem is going on. And, you know, not going through the city in regular traffic flow, in my opinion. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm willing to be schooled if I'm wrong, okay?
Especially if the homeless, you know, pushing the shopping carts out.
Yeah, that. But, of course, all of our cities need to have a shopping cart and homeless bum pedestrian equity, okay? There we go.
That's where they're heading.
All right, Doc. Well, take next Monday off, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks, all right? We'll see you then.
And, Bill, happy anniversary to you and Linda and many, many more, many returns and thanks again.
All right. You take care, Doc. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, 854.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single day to replace a mouthful of bad teeth or ill-fitting dentures with a beautiful implant-supported smile? For so many of my patients, this has been a life-changing experience. Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson of Dental Excellence. I met a man in my office who came for a free consultation. He said to me, "Dr. Johnson, I quit going out to eat with my friends. I cover my mouth when I smile. I don't laugh out loud like I used to. I'm tired of all the denture adhesive and not tasting my food." Can you or someone you know relate to this man's story? I'm here to tell you that dental implants can solve your problems and give you a great reason to smile. Start now to regain your health and confidence. Come meet me and my amazing team. The consultation is free.
Call 541-779-6170 or visit MedfordDentalExcellence.com.
Dental Excellence, changing lives, one smile at a time.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Lithia Body and Paint presents the Travel Report on KMED.com. Check out for changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout our region. The Travel Report is on KMED.com, brought to you by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
You may need extra time at Freddy's Diner.
Let's see. The fried chicken dinner sounds delicious. Wait. Smoked brisket? Ooh, hickory smoked ribeye. Chicken fried steak smothered in country gravy.
Welcome to Freddy's. Our Friday and Saturday dinner special is hickory smoked prime rib. Are you ready to order?
I'm going to need a few more minutes.
I'll be back.
Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
It's 8:56. We go to Jeff. Jeff's in Selma. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Bill. You mentioned about speed limits in parking lots.
Yes.
Well, you know, there are some parking lots that have stop signs, and if you run that stop sign, you can get a ticket, even though it's private property, because there's this thing called public access.
Ah, interesting.
That's how they give DUIs to people sitting in their cars drunk in their own driveway.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes.
So all right.
The only way to avoid that is to put something across your driveway. It can be a piece of yarn that says no public access, and then they can't do that. However, if the private property owner were to post a speed limit of 15 mile an hour, then law enforcement can issue citations for driving over that because it's public access.
That's really interesting. But do you get my point, though, that some of the most dangerous driving that you see when it comes to pedestrians are in parking lots, really? Parking lots.
Yeah, it just brought to mind that, if you don't say no public access, then law enforcement is able to issue citations. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the private property owner to post the speed limit sign. And I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
people don't care anymore.
And I was astounded. That's like I'm thinking, okay, you're in an area in which people are backing out of spaces, and you're doing 20, 25. In some fact, I've seen some that I could guarantee were doing 30 through a parking lot.
Little kids darting out from in between the cars.
Yeah,
cars.
That's the real danger. But you know, the cities would have you think that it is driving through downtown. That is the real danger. And I don't know, maybe that's a revenue aspect of it because of the red light camera. And we're just going to make sure that it is so difficult to come downtown that maybe you don't want to come downtown. And maybe that's ultimately the goal, Jeff. I don't know. It makes you wonder about the climate-friendly deal.
Dr. Powers mentioned bumper cars, and it made me think that they'll probably outlaw bumper cars in amusement parks soon.
Yeah. That could be. Training, it's giving you the wrong training for driving on the road, right?
Have a great day, Bill.
Hey, you too. All right. 8:58 and change. All right. That was kind of a pebble in my shoe moment about that. And all right. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. By the way, I know Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday is always a very, very interesting time. And that is, I think tomorrow we're going to have plenty to discuss within that issue. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with Lars, and since I already talked about the Grants Pass Water Lab deal with the Klamath, and we might hear some more of that on the Lars Larson show this afternoon about the real condition of the water coming out of the Klamath. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. See you then.